Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 114 of The Morning After. I'm your host, Jesse Kiefer. The lovely co-host of mine, Sari Kamen, is no longer in the state of New York. She is in California having a fantastic vacation with her family. Don't we all wish we could be on the beach with her? But the show must go on. The show must go on. We'll see her next week. We have a fantastic show today. I'm really, really excited to welcome our guest, Dr. Dave Orris. Orris.
Orris is fine, yes.
Orris.
Orris, yeah. Like Orris in the water.
Orris in the water, spelt with an O-R-E-S. So as you can see, my reputation of butchering names precedes me. Dr. Dave is one of the only affordable medical care options for New York City restaurant workers. In fact, he's been providing pay-what-you-can care to the Lower East Side uninsured for years, but now his practice is threatened. He's facing eviction and a $30,000 bill in back taxes. So we're going to talk to him after the break about his situation and what we can do to help. But first, a little segment that we haven't brought back in a while. One of my favorites. The front of house.
It's your favorite story. It's front of house. It's a front of house.
Front of house. Telling restaurant horror stories one episode at a time. This story comes to me from a coworker of mine, a former coworker. I can't say whether or not he works at the restaurant I manage. I can't say whether or not I worked with him many years ago. However, he has a fantastic story to tell. It's titled, A Most Basic Encounter. Preparing to leave work, I gather my belongings and walk my bike towards the stairs to exit the basement. As I pass through the private dining room, the cook descends the stairs, meatball sandwich in hand, and places it on the long communal table with all 14 seats vacant. The low, warm light of the room gives the tomato sauce an oily glow of professional food photography, true food porn. But alas, this sandwich belongs to someone else, and I'm ready to make my way home. I head up the stairs into the still-active restaurant floor as it winds down from a busy Friday night. With only a few groups left in the restaurant, I stop by a table in the back and bid farewell to some friends who have stopped in. Standing there with my gloves on, helmet in hand, ready to go, I notice a woman entirely indiscernible start to head down the stairs from whence I came. A few steps into the journey, she pauses and stares straight ahead at the eye-level, illuminated sign that reads, Employees only! Exclamation point. Restrooms upstairs! Exclamation point. In fun, fluorescent, magnetic letters stuck to a black chalkboard that couldn't be more desperate for attention. And then she continues to descend the stairs with such faith in her decision that my intuitive reaction to run over and tell her exactly what the sign already did is temporarily quelled. In my apprehension, I turned to the nearby cook who had earlier placed the sandwich on the dining room table and asked if the girl who had gone down the stairs was possibly his girlfriend or someone visiting who was on their way to claim their sandwich in the solitude of the staff-only basement. I've never seen that person before in my life. The sandwich was for the dishwasher, the cook said. Together, we decided to descend the stairs. We round the corner, only a few seconds behind the intruder. Despite our haste, there is no one to be immediately found. However, the sandwich, crafted for a man who has been laboring for 10 hours, is half missing. We look at each other and then head further into the private dining room to investigate the blind spot created by a recess in the wall, where surely enough, the sandwich thief stands. Half sandwich in hand, she remains where she is and even continues to chew as the cook and I try to process the situation. Can I help you? I awkwardly squeeze out, unsure of the role I'm supposed to be playing. The bouncer? The host? The psychologist? Is this person even well-adjusted enough to be vilified? Is she even of the mental capacity to be held accountable for her heinous crime? Her appearance is so utterly unremarkable that any effort to describe it would be futile. A police sketch artist would only laugh at my attempts to detail her every oneness. Hair could be brown, blonde, or red, depending on the light. Not skinny, not fat, not tall, not short. Of an age where you're not young enough for people to figure you have your whole life ahead of you, but also old enough to not be doing anything that anybody gives a shit about. An authentic first order basic bitch. She buys herself some time, I guess, with a few chews of the sandwich before she chooses to acknowledge my question. Well, she finally utters with complete confidence. I got this, she's thinking. For a second, I question if cornering her like this was the right move. Maybe she's supposed to be here after all. But then I remember that I'm only cornering her because she's literally hiding in a corner in the basement of a restaurant eating a sandwich which she just found. The pause lengthened. Are you looking for the restroom, maybe? I say in an attempt to give her something to riff on. Well, I was looking for a restroom, but then I wandered down here, and that's when I found this delicious sandwich. I cut her off mid-sentence, although I would love to hear where this is going. I throw up my arms and start making motions toward the stairs. Let's go. Come on, I say in an apathetic tone. She doesn't question it for a second, although she continues to eat the sandwich throughout the confrontation and banishment, and I don't doubt she thinks about grabbing the rest of it off the plate on her second pass. Upstairs, she grabs her other two totally basic friends from the bar as if everything is completely normal, and they head off into the cool lower Manhattan night, most likely on a nocturnal prowl to consume more shit that isn't theirs. I want to thank whoever that server is, where I worked with him somewhere in this fantastic restaurant city of ours of Manhattan. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break here on The Morning After. We're going to come back with Dr. Dave Orr's.
You are listening to EULA, Dirty Hands.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hi, I'm Julia Tertian, host of Radio Cherry Bomb. This summer, Heritage Radio Network is turning five. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like nobody else. And we need your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented nonprofit organization. That means we depend on the support from listeners like you to help keep us alive. If you love what you hear on Heritage Radio Network, visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your support.
Hello, this is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
And we're back here on The Morning After. Back in 2008, I was working full-time at a restaurant to pay my bills while I was working part-time at a magazine that didn't pay my bills. And I was lucky enough that my restaurant got involved with the Restaurant Worker Referral Program, which is a program that Dave Orr's heads, Dr. Dave, as we all call him. You know, most restaurant workers like me back in 2008 don't have the opportunity to have health insurance because the employer does not provide it for us, even though we're working full time. So to have something like the Restaurant Worker Referral Program was huge. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here. The restaurants can't provide health insurance because even if it's $800 a month, and you have 20 people, that's $16,000 a month. And a year goes by, that's $200,000, and they don't have that kind of margin. So it's not possible for them to provide health insurance. However, they can provide health care, which is the total opposite of insurance. I'm a conscientious objector to health insurance. I think it's like apartheid or slavery. It needs to be dismantled and discarded. It's the biggest scam perpetrated against people since the world was flat.
So I'm obviously Dr. Dave has amazing opinions, and I can't wait to get into the depths of the health insurance for restaurant workers. But I do want to kind of start, you know, how did you get started in this nonprofit medicine?
Well, I always kind of thought medicine should be not for profit because it just needs to be. Brain cancer in children shouldn't be a profit center. I mean, it's kind of like the right instrument for the job. I'll put it this, let me try and say it succinctly as possible. If you have a for-profit company that sells flat-screen televisions or luxury cars, then you have this kind of, you know, pyramid of decision-making, a cascade of decision-making, all centered around the common mission, which is to increase your profits. That means not giving cars to homeless people. You don't give out free Lexuses to homeless people or people can't afford them, mm-hmm. or Rolex watches or flat-screen TVs. You need to make profit. So you do all these things, and all these thousands of people focused single-mindedly to make profit. That doesn't necessarily make them your advocate, you know. But for healthcare, conversely, oppositely, whatever, you want not profit because that's a different mission statement. In a not-profit corporation, the mission statement isn't to make as much profit as possible at all costs because you don't make any profit. So if you have X amount of resource in a not-profit company like Red Cross, Amnesty International, et cetera, your mission is to provide as much care as possible with whatever resources you have. So you can see, now that leads to a different decision tree and a different set of decisions being made. So that's the problem. The problem is I don't think for-profit companies are evil. Well, all right, let's not go there.
Not a blanket statement.
No. But, you know, if you make a lot of money selling luxury cars or luxury watches or luxury TVs, whatever, that's fine. I don't care. I'm not against people making profit in Hollywood, making movies or horror films, whatever. I'm just saying healthcare, medicine, needs to be not-for-profit. Because you can't have a for-profit health system. Because then if you do, there's no money in obese schizophrenic drug addicts. Mm-mm. There's no profit in that. Therefore, they don't get care. So not that one group, but almost any group doesn't get care.
Sure. So you started the clinic on the Lower East Side when?
Like 20-something years ago.
20-something years ago.
I used to be on Clinton and Stanton in the corner. I had like a MASH unit there, painted like a MASH unit. And I saw patients there. And it was like $40, $50, $60, whatever they could pay. But I had no staff. I never had employees. So, and my rent was always low. So that makes me able to be generous. About 5-6 years ago, well, over 10 years at least, I kept seeing restaurant workers mm-hmm. who burnt their hand or had a headache or a lump in the breast or a skin lesion or a cut finger. And I didn't see them until probably, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks later than I should have.
Mm-hmm. Like they, because they didn't have the health insurance, they knew that
they had no access
to
a doctor,
where to go, and so then they just let it get bad.
They don't want to go to the ER and spend $2,000 to find out there's nothing,
mm-hmm.
and they can't miss work even.
Mm-hmm.
So the healthcare strategy they had in almost every case is I'll just wait till it goes away, and oftentimes it didn't go away; it got worse. Mm-hmm. Then eventually, when their hand's going to fall off and their arm's infected, they have fasciitis, they need IV antibiotics, they need to be hospitalized. I would finally see them, and after like 10, 15, 20, 30 of those, I got annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, we have to see these people earlier. We need earlier intervention. That's not necessarily the same as preventive care. Mm-hmm. It's called early intervention. So what I needed to do was see them earlier, and to organize that, I said, let's get in cahoots with the managers and
sure,
start a project called the Restaurant Worker Project. And let's get them to tell all the workers, I'll go to their staff meeting, I'll introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
I say, when you have a cut, a bump, a lump, a burn, you're blind in one eye, you're deaf, you have a sore throat, fever, cough, headache, go, et cetera, contact me. It's free. I'll tell you if you do or don't need a doctor. The point is, if I see them earlier, it's incredibly less expensive for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
Should I tell you the math real quick?
Tell me the math, and then tell me how the hell can this be possible?
Well, that's the same. That's the same.
Funny. Oh my God, we're
funny,
on the same page.
That's
I love
the
it.
Math.
Tell me the math.
The math is, let's say Again, keeping it simplistic as possible to make it, you know.
Please, I'm terrible at math.
No, it's not that. It's just that it's you don't want to make it too complicated. Let's say you have 100 people with a cough. And let's say you see all 100 of them and you give them antibiotics. So let's say it costs you $50 for each one. 10 times 50 is 500. So that's $5,000 you just spent to treat every cough.
Mm-hmm.
And they all get better. 5 or 8 of them get sicker, but you're aware of them getting sicker, so you intervene early on day 3, day 5, day 8. That's how we doctors talk about illnesses. And we give them more antibiotics, more cough syrup, whatever. And they all get better. That's $5,000 that's going to cost you. Now let's look at the other world. You have 100 people with cough and no one talks to them. 90 will get better anyway eventually, 3 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But 4 or 5 of them get real sick. They get strep pneumonia, some horrible pneumonia. And sicker and sicker, cough more and more, can't stop coughing, can't sleep, lungs get swollen, the fever gets, they eat less, they drink less, they get sicker, 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 and now they're near on death's door, and an ambulance shows up because they kind of start turning blue. They really can't breathe, hardly. And they're called hypoxic, you know, they look really sick.
Mm-hmm.
Ambulance picks them up, takes them to the ER, they're starting to have respiratory failure, they intubate them, intensive care unit, IV antibiotics, they may or may not live. If they do live, they'll be in the intensive care for 5-6 days. If they survive that, they'll be on the floor for a few days. And they might have even chronic long-term brain damage or whatever from being hypoxic. So that one, so if you have 3 of those, each one of those cost you $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've spent $1.5 million in that scenario to take care of the 3 or 4 who got horribly ill. So although $5,000 seems like a lot of money to spend on 100 people with cough,
mm-hmm.
it's insanely less expensive than letting it ride until you get your 5 sick ones. If you follow me?
I do follow you. I guess I want to know, where does the money come from for you?
Well, I'll get to that. So in terms of the value of doing such a program, that's why this thing is worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
Forget how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you can magically see all 100 coughs. It's obviously clear. It's insanely less expensive to find things earlier. Even though you're, quote, wasting money on nothing coughs, you know, an allergy, a tickle in my throat, whatever. It's really, really, really worth it to catch the 5 from becoming pneumonia. So that explains the value of doing this kind of program. How do you do this kind of program? Separate question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned over 5-6 years that every restaurant would send me 1 person a month average, sometimes 2. So if I'm charging $80 or $100 to see somebody, that means the restaurant needs to give me $200 a month, ballpark.
Which is insane.
No, it's just true.
That's insanely affordable.
No, but forget affordable. Just look at the cold, hard number.
Mm-hmm.
That's around $200 I need.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have 10 restaurants, everyone gives me $200. That's $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm not going to see 50 people from a restaurant in a month, unless they'll get the plague or something. But, you know, 1 per month, mm-hmm. 1.5, 2. So say 2 a month is what you count on. So now all the money they give me goes into a coffee pot, a fund. Now that money sits there, and it's not used for anything. It just sits there. Now if I see a patient, I take $80 out and pay myself.
Mm-hmm.
If another doctor, Dr. Joe or Dr. Mike, my other doctor, Dr. Bruce, there's 4 of us, if they see a patient, they get $80, $60, depending how complicated it is. But it's never $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's 50, 60, 80, something like that. So I'm collecting, the goal is to collect about 20% more than what goes out. It's like a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
This much water goes in, this much water goes out. We want 20% more to go in, just roughly, because one day, God willing, I'll have an administrator to do this and me not do it. But so that's why it's so cheap, because the reason it's so insanely inexpensive this way is that you're not paying shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
There's no CEO making $400 million. There's no... we don't have a private jet. We don't have any kind of jet. You know,
there's no a motorcycle, right?
Yeah, but that's mine. That doesn't belong to the thing. So the reason it costs so little is because when you have non-for-profit healthcare, the reason it costs 100, 500 times less money is that you only pay money when something happens. That's an enormous. Think about that. The system only pays out $80 if an actual worker goes to an actual doctor.
Mm-hmm.
With your private, what you call for-profit insurance, Oxford and all those things, if you pay them $16,000 a month, they just keep it. That money's gone. If you don't get sick for 10 years, you don't get that back. Hey, it's been 10 years. Congratulations. Here's your 200 grand back.
That'd be amazing.
That's not going to happen.
No, not at all.
So that's the difference between for-profit and non-profit. Do you see the difference?
I absolutely do.
So my project, although it's a small little tiny baby project, it's a teaspoon in the ocean, but it still demonstrates that you can do this.
Have you had people from other states looking at your program and starting things up?
Yeah, right now this project for the restaurant workers is in New York City, Philadelphia, and we're just starting to get into New Orleans. So, yes.
That's amazing. I was taking a sip of water, so sorry.
The functional unit of this project is the zip code. So any zip code in the United States, if you have a doctor who wants to do this anywhere in America, any state anywhere, Minnesota, California, name all the states, Texas, if a Dr. Smith in Dallas joins this project, then he could probably cover two zip codes or three zip codes around where that doctor is.
Mm-hmm.
So then he or she would go and get restaurants to join and go to it.
And the response from restaurants, was it just immediately yes?
Mostly, yeah. Almost everybody asked joins, you know. And we just got awarded after 2 years of applying and working. About 2 weeks ago, we were awarded by the federal government, the IRS, gave us our 501c3 status.
Congratulations.
Which is a huge big deal. It gives us big credibility. And now, as I was talking to you before the show, it opens huge horizons for us, because what I could do now, and hopefully we'll do the next couple of months when I figure out how to do it, is I'll go to the bank and open a second account, what would be called a B account.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to ask Heritage. You heard of the Heritage company? I'm going to ask them to give us, well, they're actually collecting money. They probably haven't got money for us.
I've heard of the Heritage Radio Network. Yeah,
that them, or Boar's Head, or Absolute Vodka, or giant companies that do restaurant, Quiznos.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these giant companies have foundation aspects. So I'm going to ask them to give us money, go begging. Let's say we get 500 grand in the B account. Now, the Restaurant Worker Project could see any worker who's in a member restaurant, as it is now. That's from the A account. That money's put in by restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But the B account will have foundation money,
mm-hmm.
not connected to a restaurant. That fund will be used to see any worker who wants to see a doctor for any reason who is not in a member restaurant. So say a worker from Starbucks, McDonald's, or Jocko's, whatever the place is, who's not a member for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
but the worker has an illness or injury or concern, then they could see us for free. New York City has, I know it's the largest employer, the service industry in New York City. I think it's the largest employer in most cities.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the second, third largest employer in the United States. It's a lot of people. And it just makes, if you have rational healthcare, if your mission is just to be rational, then you have not-for-profit healthcare. Again, back to the mission statement. If your mission is to make as much money as possible and like F-U-C-K everybody over,
mm-hmm.
then you want for-profit medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And no one discusses that on the national scene except for the Heritage Radio Network. Because you really want to have the conversation or the argument or discussion to be, do you want to live or be served by a for-profit health system or a not-for-profit health system? Forget everything else. Forget HIPs or PPOs, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Obamacare, Philamacare, Jalamacare, it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
If you have for-profit medicine, you're fucked. Guaranteed fucked. If you have non-profit medicine, well, you have to make it function well. You could be screwed that way too if it's dysfunctional. If FedEx lost 4 out of 5 packages, nobody would use them. But it doesn't make FedEx a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think FedEx ever lost a package. Ever. And if they did, they probably got a black helicopter to erase that person. You know what I mean? You never existed.
Conspiracy theories.
Yeah, they would never let it be known. But obviously FedEx has to function.
Mm-hmm.
If you had MedEx, which is my delusional fantasy medical corporation for the whole country, it would be a restaurant worker healthcare for the entire nation. See, it's just less expensive to pay for every medical encounter
mm-hmm.
than giving someone, you know, 1,000 times more than that. So if you went to buy a car for $18,000, and I told you, see that guy over there with the hat? You have to give him $80,000, and he may or may not give you a car. You'd be like, fuck off. Why would I do that for? That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I can just buy it for $18,000 out of my pocket. Why would I get, what are you talking about? But that's what we do for healthcare with no problem. We're giving Oxford and all these companies hundreds of billions of dollars a day. And then we have to beg on our hands and knees to get back 5% of it to pay for our health care, for our food stamps, which is health care in my world, nutrition in schools, lunch in schools is all health care, psychiatric, you know, all these gun shootings are some nut job, was ignored for 8 months, you know, cutting out the eyes of photographs and then, you know, has a giant gun collection. Oh, surprise, he went wacko. But if that, you know, you can't say for sure, but anecdotally, just guessing, I would imagine if a patient with psychiatric care every week for free and started going screwy, would notice.
It's just like you're saying, like, you know, there's, you know, 10 coughs, three of them are going to get really bad. Let's
out of 100, see all of them. Three out of 100. But you understand that's the principle.
Sure. Same idea.
Because, well, and people who aren't doctors are crazy. They think, oh, they're going to abuse the system. No, you want everyone to come in for nothing. They'll come in for nothing complaints. This is what you want. You know, when I see a patient cut their pinky, has a tiny scratch, I take their blood pressure. They're hypertensive. They're 40 pounds overweight. They have three brothers that died of heart attacks. They have skin lesions that could be cancer. They have all kinds of things that they did have no idea that I would get into their shit and figure out. But you need to get them to come in. You need asses in seats. It's like P.T. Barnum. You got to get asses in seats. So if you don't get people to come in, you can't help them. You don't want them out there being sick with their TB and their Ebola and whatever else. There's, you know, here's a great one. As far as I know, and I'm almost positive, restaurants are not required to vaccinate for hepatitis B, which is crazy. You should vaccinate every restaurant worker for free for hepatitis B. And as soon as the Hep C vaccine, vaccinate for that. Well, why? And there's a blood test for tuberculosis now. You should test every single person. But why? It's so expensive. Well, if you catch three cases before they start, you're going to save $40 million of Hep B panic when you get 10 cases out of one restaurant. You know what I mean?
No, I mean,
the lawsuits,
and you're saving the restaurant.
Yeah, you're saving the restaurant. You're saving the, you know, 3 years of lawsuits, congressional investigations. What a mess that would be. And why not vaccinate everybody for Hep B? It's just silly. And also vaccinate them, you know, for what, flu should be just required. Because restaurants, God bless them, people go there, you know, and they gather there, since that's how the pestilence and Black Plague was probably spread, you know. I'm not saying...
Yeah. I thought it was rats.
Well, they're probably hanging out in pubs. But the point is, those pub rats. But the point is, it's irrational to save money on the front end and let a few people get sick. That costs more. You ever hear of the broken window policing concept, you know? I don't know if you ever heard about that, but picture this. Let's say you have a house and the roof leaks water. Screw it, I'm going to wait. What's it cost to fix the roof? $5,000. No, I'm going to wait 3 years. Well, your house gets destroyed by water. Now you've lost $400,000 because you didn't pay for the stupid roof. Same with healthcare. It seems expensive to examine every single cough, every single cut, every single scratch, every single fever, every single sore throat, every STD, every everything. But in fact, it's thousands of times cheaper. I don't know how else to say that more clearly.
I mean, I wish everyone saw it the way you see it. And right now, you are kind of in a bind. You're facing eviction.
Oh, my housing thing. Oh, no.
Your housing thing. Well, I want to talk about that. I want to take a break here.
Okay.
I'm going to come back, and okay, I want to figure out how people can help you with your housing situation, but I also want to know how people can get involved and donate to your programs. This is The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org. You are listening to EULA, Awake.
Oh, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
And we're back here on The Morning After. I reached out to Dave, Dr. Dave, because I saw all over social media, Facebook specifically, from all my restaurant friends, that he was facing eviction in his current clinic, and a back taxes bill of $30,000. Dr. Dave, what's happening?
Well, first of all, hello.
welcome back to
this
The
is
Morning
a long,
After,
boring
Dr.
story.
Dave.
In 4 days, I got $30,000, $32,000 from everybody donating. So that's kind of handled.
That's wild.
GoFundMe. It's crazy. So thank you. Love to everyone. So that's handled. My court date is Tuesday. It wasn't back taxes, though. It's a crazy story, which I don't understand, which it'll take months to sort out.
Mm-hmm.
And the shortest way I can say this, it's really wonky, is I'm in a building which is not for profit, low income.
Okay.
Who supports my mission, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And like last September, I got a bill for 18 grand. Imagine you get your rent bill and that was 18 grand for commercial taxes. I go, what are you talking about? That's insane. I never paid that. And we have what's called a J-51 abatement. It means there's no taxes for 10 years. Oh, we never got that. You owe us this money. Well, okay. So that all went to hell. And then
You had no proof that they did or didn't get it.
No, sure we do.
You did.
My lease says my lease says that I'm entitled to J-51 abatement. And when I moved in, the person that ran the director at that time said we have J-51 abatement.
Mm-hmm.
So I was promised that and forgot about it till I got this crazy bill. Then I ignored it for a few months because I'm kind of a dick sometimes. Nobody's perfect. There was one guy, but we killed him.
You just thought it would go away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm panicky. That's what I do. I just throw the mail out.
I've done that with you get
bad mail, just throw it out. Then there won't be a problem.
Then exactly. Yeah.
So I did that. And then I honestly swore I missed, not even joking, I did miss a court date, which I should have gone to, which I had no idea about. I'm sure I threw something out. So I blame myself. That's me being a jerk.
Okay.
Anyway, so then I had a default judgment, unbeknownst to me. So like 2 weeks ago, Marshall shows up, goes, you have 5 days to move out. You're being evicted. So I'm like, oh, I have to address this now. So I went to court.
Did he have a gun?
No. It was like a messenger. They serve you. He had a gun. He had a gub. So I went to the court and filed the proper papers and got the judgment vacated and got a court date, which is July 29th, next Tuesday. And the clerk said, you got to bring the money or you're going to get kicked out. And I go, well, that's a lot of money. So I did GoFundMe, and God bless everyone who I love very much. They all chipped in 20, 40, 50 bucks. Some people did more, like 100. And 600 people put money in, and we got $30,000, $33,000 in like 3 days.
That's wild. So was it, you know, just friends? Was it clients? Was it patients?
I haven't even looked, but it's mostly a lot of my friends and my patients and vice versa. I'm kind of blurry about that because I take care of everyone. I don't give a shit. So however you want to define them. And everybody came through and it's all done. So I have the money.
Well, that's good to hear.
So that's
you're not going anywhere.
So the eviction's taken off the table, but I have to go to court and I'm going to put the money. I think I'm not sure what's going to happen Tuesday, but my attorney says this is the plan, which I'm sure will go to hell. But the plan is to give the judge the money, or the lawyer puts it in what's called escrow.
Yes.
And then we challenge this J-51 thing. That's going to take months, 2-3 months, whatever. At the end of that time, he'll say, screw you. You have to pay the money. Who cares that they screwed up the J-51? We don't care. Pay the money. Or the judge might go, well, they screwed up the J-51. You were promised J-51, so they have to pay it, or we'll split it. Who knows? I have no idea what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't get evicted in the meantime.
Exactly.
That was the point of having the money, because I did have to give the judge the money. It's going to be an escrow. Now, suppose the J-51 goes in my favor, and I have to pay half of it or whatever. But I'll use that money to pay that, and I'll pay the rest rent or whatever. I won't keep any of it.
So then, once you get the J-51, once the ruling comes out, you will know whether or not you actually do get J-51. What if you don't get it?
Well, then I have to give him... No, the money's in escrow.
No, but I'm just saying, what if going forward?
I'll keep... No, it's 800 bucks a month in tax. I'll just pay it.
You'll just pay it.
I could do that.
Yeah.
I could work harder, see some more patients, charge somebody 10 bucks more. I'm going to add $5 to all my charges to get the extra 800 per month. I have an extra exam room. Oh, shout out. I have an exam room I'm going to rent. In my place.
Kind of like a salon chair.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to rent this extra exam room I don't use for a chiropractor or another doctor. Anybody can rent it. Just call me. And the reason is, if it's like, say, even $75 or $95 a day, that would pay the taxes.
No, absolutely. That makes total sense. Yeah. So,
it's just that it came at once, and it was never mentioned. They didn't tell me, like, for 3 years, you owe us this money, pay us. They never said anything. Mm-hmm. So when I got a bill for $18,000, I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't have $18,000. Look at me. Do I have $18,000 sitting around?
I don't know. You might.
Oh, I might.
You might, rabbit. Dug a hole and hit it somewhere.
You might, rabbit. You might.
So what other, now that that is kind of moving forward and hopefully going in your favor, what other projects are you working on right now?
Oh, so many. I do a thing called Fresh Start. You go to my website and you see all of it. Just Google me, Dr. Dave. O-R-E-S is my last name. I do a project for about 5-6 years now. I had a laser removes tattoos. And what we were doing for 5 years unofficially is taking tattoos off of people's faces for free who were formerly in gang or got out of prison. So formerly incarcerated and also victims, survivors of human trafficking. Now, in the case of the ex-gang members and formerly incarcerated, they're at a point in their life now. Usually, I met them like 5-6 years after they got out of jail. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get jobs now, going for job interviews. But it's just like, fuck you on their neck.
Sure.
Or a swastika or your teardrops or whatever.
And they're not getting hired for that.
And it's not mentioned, but I got a feeling. No, you can't work in our bank. So we remove those tattoos for free as a public service to get them employment. Because if someone has employment, the return to prison rate is like 15%. If they don't have employment, it's like 90%. So it's a huge, huge, huge difference. So that's a project I started. And about a year ago, I formed a not-for-profit corporation around that. And just like the restaurant thing, we also applied for the 501c3. It's still pending. We didn't get that yet. We're waiting for that to get approved. Hopefully this next month or so, that'll get approved. A few days ago, on August 10th, I'm launching a new project. Like, I need more projects.
I was going to say, how do you even handle all of this? And you have to see patients.
I have an iPhone. It's the magic of the iPhone. I'm waving at people eating, like, dinner. So, it's funny.
The joy of doing radio at Roberta's.
Now I know how a fish in a fish tank feels.
Weird the fish.
So, the I met a there's a party. Someone came to me to do a charity for me August 10th. He's a musician, a guy named Kip, and he's a Lower East Side rock and roll punk guy for many years, and I'm highly referred by people I know, so he's a cool guy. And we're blah, 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 talking at Tompkins Park yesterday, and he's going to do a charity benefit for me August 10th, his birthday party at Delancey's. I'm like, oh, what? I don't know. What do we get with the money?
What do I have to do?
No. Suppose we get like $1,000 we raise. What do we do with it? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can do free blood tests or free doctor visits or free, I don't know. And we talked and talked and talked. No joints, no marijuana involved. I was smoking a cigar at the time, which makes me kind of even more chatty, if you can imagine. And we decided to take the restaurant worker thing. I swear to God, this was yesterday. And we're going to make a musician's version. That's it. Is that genius?
That is so genius.
It's so genius, right?
I mean, I would imagine they have even less ability to have any sort of medical care.
Oh, yeah. Their
employers.
They often spontaneously combust, especially drummers.
Well, I imagine musicians need as much help as restaurant workers.
Well, what do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
Homeless.
See, I've never been a musician or dated a musician, so I don't know all the lingo.
Oh, you're missing out. A lot of fun. Anyway, so we're going to start August 10th. We're going to ignore the launch party, the inauguration of this new project. It's going to call Musicians Healthcare Referral Project. It'll exactly mimic and clone the restaurant thing, except it'll be musicians instead of restaurant workers. So how do I do it? Well, it's really easy, actually. It's kind of cookie cutter. I just got to cut out, you know, replace in my Word document.
Yeah, it'll be
Musicians Healthcare, MHC, whatever. We can't know what the letters are yet. But we're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to form a corporation. We call it Musicians Healthcare Referral Project. We will file it in the state. We will apply for 501c3, which will take a year or two to get. Mm-hmm. This will take 3 years to start to gel. But, you know, in New Orleans, they have the Musician Clinic. They have a dedicated hospital just for musicians. And it's really a good idea.
How will you get the word out to musicians? I feel like in a restaurant, you know, you can go to the restaurant itself and reach out to managers and all of that.
Yeah, the cool thing about restaurants are like little mini attack ships, you know, or submarines. So I just tell the general manager, when I sign up a restaurant, I get all those workers. That's why I did restaurants. It's just so organized. Trying to find busboys at their home in Ridgewood, you know, good luck with that.
Impossible.
Not possible. But through the restaurant, you can find everybody. So, yeah. I don't know, honestly. I'm thinking I guess
social media, probably. And word really, of mouth.
Not big on reading, I don't
think. I bet they're, you know, they're into I'm their Twitter feed.
I'm teasing you. I love the musicians. They all know, actually, honestly, they all know each other. They cross-pollinate like crazy. Like, they all really, no, they really all know each other. I mean, you tell three of them, they all know.
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, I think going to venues would be a way.
They honestly, really, 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 I'm not even joking. They literally know each other. You know, you tell Johnny, and he'll tell Billy, he'll tell Stevie. Literally, in 2 days, you'll have all of them. It's just nuts. They all know each other.
You just got to get them to commit.
Well, if it's free healthcare,
sure.
And I'm going to try to get some dental happening in that too. See, here's I'm not saying genius. Here's the super clever part about the restaurant worker thing and the soon-to-be musician thing. And actually the laser thing too. You know, the Fresh Start Laser Project, I have 10 or 12 doctors around the nation who've signed up to remove tattoos for free. So what does that mean? I'm not buying an office. I'm not renting an office. I'm not paying a doctor. I'm not buying a laser, which costs $300,000. So I basically have 10 doctors, 10 lasers, 10 offices for free. If I do fundraisers or raise money to do that, mm-hmm. I'd have to raise like $10 million a year just to operate those places. So I'm using existing structure. This is called shared economy. Any wonks out there can, you know, policy wonks, Google shared economy. It's the notion of using existing things in more efficient ways, like sharing a tractor lawnmower among five homes instead of having five of them.
It's like a commune.
Well, for items, though, not for, like, not
okay,
your life.
Sure.
It's for a thing, like a toaster. So it's called a shared economy. And it's getting very popular. Examples are Zipcar, Citibike, things that you share. So anyway, I like that idea a lot, and I applied to the restaurant thing. So these doctors who joined, Dr. Mike on the West 86, Dr. Mike Wachowski and Dr. Carl Goodman, West 86th Street, they're part of the restaurant thing. Dr. Joseph Chiofu is on Brooklyn in Williamsburg or Greenpoint. He's a doctor. Dr. Bruce Hopper in Philly. They all have offices and staff, and they pay rent, and they pay electric, and they pay all the shit they got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It would be millions of dollars if I had to pay that.
Sure.
But since all I'm asking to do is see a couple of patients extra a day, and I'm paying them to do it, like $80, whatever we talked about.
Yeah.
So that's the cleverness of this, is that we're not building new infrastructure. We're using existing infrastructure. That's why it's insanely cheap. You with me?
I am. No, that makes total sense.
So that's kind of clever. And with this musician thing, that'll be the same thing. See, the Fresh Start does that. The restaurant does that. The musicians thing will do that. We're going to use existing structures to provide this care. We're not going to build a hospital anywhere or build a clinic. That would cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And it would never happen. And you couldn't maintain it anyway. It makes much more sense to use existing structures.
Dr. Dave, thank you so much for coming by. I would love to have you kind of let people know how to get in touch with you if they want to be a part of the musician program, if they want to be a part of the restaurant worker program, or just come see you if they're none of that.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes, you take it out.
It's Pay What You Can Wednesdays. Every Wednesday I do free healthcare for anybody. Pay What You Can Wednesday. Every Wednesday you call me, text me, contact me. It's Pay What You Can Wednesdays. I take care of anybody. And that's also going to be a national initiative, but that's just a free little, that's a whole other radio show.
So Pay What You Can Wednesdays. And then if a restaurant wants to get involved, how do they get into contact
just
with you?
Just contact me. You can. I'm Dr. David Ores, O-R-E-S. You can Google me. The program is called rwrp.info. rwrp.info has everything and everything to reach me.
Do you have an Instagram or Facebook or Twitter?
I got all of it.
What are they?
Oh, no. I think Dr. Dave MD is my Instagram. My Twitter is Dr. Dave Ores. Is my Twitter, but just email me and I'll give you everything. My email, when you email me, that lists all those things.
Amazing. So email Dr. Dave if you're interested in any of his programs. Thank you so much again for stopping by.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on your show. It was a great privilege, and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, and I wish you all the luck going forward with your court date.
And you as well.
Thank you so much. Before we go, I kind of wanted to play a little blooper reel just to lighten the mood as we head on out of the morning after here. Sari and I were recording a drop. I will admit it was after doing two shows in a row and several beers. Sari didn't have any beer, but I did. But I thought it was kind of funny. So play it, Liz. This is the morning after on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I'm Sari Kamen.
And we're the hosts of the morning after. Wah, wah. Hey there, listeners. I'm Jesse Kiefer. I'm I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I'm Sari Kamen.
And we're the hosts of the Morning After Heritage Radio. Aw. No. All right. Uno, dos, tres. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I'm Sari Kamen.
And we're the hosts of the Morning After
on Heritage Radio Network.
What are we saying? Oh, and then and
you're listening.
Listening
to
yeah.
Who you are, what show you have, and you're listening to.
Oh.
Okay. Wow.
Are we going to have a bloopers reel?
I hope so. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I'm Sari Kamen.
And we're the hosts of the Morning After. You're listening to
Heritage
Radio
Network
dot
org.
Beautiful. And if you have any other ideas, we got all night.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.